The godly give good advice to their friends. The wicked lead them astray. I mean, if somebody's not walking totally in obedience to God's word, you really don't want to go to them for advice. Or they can certainly lead you down the wrong path. Now then, I'll tell you, you can take a guy going to church every Sunday and he can give you some wrong advice. You know, because he's not where he needs to be in God. I remember days when I gave people wrong advice. And it may still be some of those times. I may not be right all the time, but I know I'm right a whole lot more now than I was 30 years ago. Because I know a whole lot more of the Word today. You know, then I didn't 30 or 40 years ago. I knew some of the Word, but I didn't know near as much as I know now. So I could give you some advice, and sometimes it might be good and sometimes it wasn't. But the godly, the more you spend time with God, the more godly you become. And when you get to really become godly, you'll give good advice to your friends. And, of course, you'll try to give godly advice to the ones that are wicked, too, but usually they won't listen. You know, you can try, but, you know, they won't listen as a rule. Okay, next verse. Got one verse left. Lazy people don't even cook the game they catch. They want to bring it home and let you cook it for them. In fact, they don't even want to clean the fish. They can go out and have all kinds of fun fishing and bring it home and say, "Would you clean the fish for me and cook them so we can have a good dinner?" No. Go out there and clean them things and cook, and you know, bring them in and I'll cook them for you, but you at least clean them. Lazy critters. Oh, there's not any lazy people in the world. Is there? I'm telling you, there's some lazy critters out there. There is some people that don't want to work. I mean, some people out there, I mean, I think of this one boy. I only fired one boy working for me in the engineering world. I had a young 26, 7, 8-year-old, whatever he was. And we had a major project. We had to get out. And I told him, I said, "Son, I am wearing my work clothes the next few days. And this project is so big and we've got to get this thing done. And it's going to take a lot of hours, but I got to get it done by Friday." And so Wednesday and Thursday, we worked about 16 hours a day. And then we went home and he lived a whole lot closer to the airport than I did. And I went home and slept. And then that Thursday night when we left, I said, and we left about 11 o'clock. I said, "You be here in the morning at 8 o'clock. No later than 8. He said, "Mr. Scrivener, I'm so tired." I said, "Son, you're half my age." I said, "Go home and get a good night's sleep and be here in the morning at 8 o'clock. I said, "That'll give you at least 7 hours sleep tonight." I said, "You know, you go home at 11. You get home in bed by 12. You get up and you get here by 8 o'clock. You ought to be able to get at least 7 or 7.5 hours sleep. You ought to be a ball of fire at your age." Well, I left it after he did. I was finished up doing some things, and I left at midnight. The next morning at 6, I was back because I had to get that project finished, and he didn't show up till about 10. When he walked in, I said, "Where have you been?" He said, "Mr. Scrivener, I was so tired. I just couldn't get up this morning. I had a project I knew I had to get out, but I said, tell you what, son, why don't you just go back home and go to bed and get a good night's rest?" He said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, but don't come back to work Monday either. I don't need you. I don't need you." He said, "You mean you're firing me?" I said, "Yes." I said, "If I'm twice your age and you can't do what I did, I left after you did, and I was here at 6 o'clock this morning and you can't even make it in by 8, I said, "I don't need a man like that working for me." I said, "Just get your tools and go home." That's the only boy I ever fired in the engineering world. Hey, I don't like a lazy man, do you? If he's half my age and he can't keep up with me, you know, I don't expect him to do everything I do, but I expect him at least to do half what I do, you know. And if he can't do that, then I don't need him. I need somebody else. Well, what is it? It's laziness in people. You know, they tell themselves, "I can't do this." Hey, you need to get over that lazy streak and become a ball of fire. Now then, who can really become a ball of fire if you're a born-again Christian? Anybody can. All you got to do is start saying, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You can do it. You can do it. Praise the Lord. But it says lazy people don't even cook the game they catch. But the diligent make use of everything they find. Now that should be us. That should be the body of Christ, right? We should make use of everything. We should be diligent, I mean, with everything. You know, we should not be slothful. If there's anybody that, if you're working for anybody and you're a Christian, as you work for them, they should say, somebody said, who is the best employee you got? Your name ought to be on their lips. Do you know why that person is so good? I don't know, but they're the best I got. You know, I don't know why they're so good, but man, they work harder than anybody out there. And so, well, let's go talk to them. You go out there and say, you know, why do you work so hard? He said, well, you know, I really don't work for you. Amen. Well, what do you mean by that? I'm a Christian and I work for the King. His name's Jesus Christ. I'm trying to please the King. I'm trying to be diligent about everything I do. And if I please Him, I got a feeling I'm going to please you. And so if that's the way all of us would live our life, everybody would want to be a Christian. Because they know we're not the normal. We're what I would call the cream of the crop. We're the best at what we do. We work hard. You know, we don't take nothing laying down. You know, we bounce back. We get knocked down. Hey, we stand back up and go again. Nothing can keep us down. We're children of the King. He's empowered us with everything. I mean, you have the mind of Christ. Somebody said, well, I just can't think. I couldn't possibly do that. Hey, you don't realize who you are yet. You don't realize you have the mind of Christ. You don't realize you're a joint heir with the King. You don't realize that He's already seated you in heavenly places. Everything that belonged to Jesus, He's given to you. Everything. And what could Jesus do? He didn't make it ever. He's building furniture or casting out demons or healing the sick, cleansing the lepers or raising the dead. I bet He built some of the best furniture there was. You know it? And I bet He didn't grumble doing it either. I bet He was glad. It was joy. That's right. It was joy. Okay, Proverbs 13. Oh, there's a 28? Oh, okay. In the NLT? Okay. So, in a, okay. Proverbs 28. Let's go to the, see what that says in the King James. The way, oh, that's a good one too. The way of the godly leads to life. Their path does not lead to death. Hey, I like that one, don't you? The way of the godly, if we are godly and we walk godly before the Lord, the way of the godly leads to life. In other words, there's no sickness and disease in life, is there? I mean, real life. But their path does not lead to death. Now, why are so many Christians sick then? We don't know what's available to us, do we? We spend too much time with the world. Cheryl and I went by her daughter's restaurant Sunday night after we left here. I never heard so much hollering and screaming in all my life. Bunch of men, a few women in there, most of them guys though. And they were watching some men jump around over a little pig skin out there on the football field. Isn't that something? It was amazing, you know, that they're throwing that little ball and they're screaming and hollering and jumping up and doing all kinds of crazy things, watching these huge football screens. And I thought, I bet you if I were to walk up and get somebody healed right here in this place, nobody would even jump up and scream or say nothing. Nobody would holler for Jesus. Isn't that amazing? In fact, I remember one night I was out there at Christie's restaurant, and one of the guys that Cheryl told me, she said, this man right here has a bad rotacuff. Will you pray for him? I said, sure. And so I reached up and laid my hands on him. I said, you go to church? He said, no. I said, you believe in Jesus? Oh, he said, I believe Jesus. I don't know what he believes about Jesus. But I've since learned he's definitely walking in several different kinds of sin. And I thought, I didn't know all that then, so I prayed the prayer of faith for him. I asked God to be merciful to him, forgive his sins, and heal him. And I was out there a few weeks later, and he just attacked me. He said, "Thurman, I am healed. I can play ball again. That rotator cuff is completely healed." But he didn't stop his sins. I found out he's still sinning. I thought, you know, God, when you say your mercy is new every morning, you know, of course, there's some of us sitting here in this room glad his mercy is new every morning. I guess that includes probably 100% of us. Aren't we glad his mercy is good, new every morning? Because if it wasn't, whoo, we might all be dead, right? Wow. The way of the godly leads to life. Their path does not lead to death. So if we don't walk godly, then where does our path lead us? To an early death. Now then, a lot of Christians die early, don't they? And they really do. A lot of them die early. I've known a lot of them that I used to not understand these principles. So when especially that little 24, 25-year-old girl. There was a woman about 40 years old. I came to my office one time and with a man, and I talked to them about Jesus. And the woman had both knees in bad shape. And so I prayed for this woman right there in my office. She was a Catholic girl, and she was about a 40-year-old woman. And I prayed for her, and God healed both of her knees. I mean, both of them. And it was awesome. She got so excited over Jesus after that. She just had trouble, you know, staying in the Catholic Church. You know, she wanted to get into a different kind of church. And so she really began to come to my church a lot at healing schools and all kinds of things. And then one day she called me and she said, "Thurman, my niece, she's 24. She said, my niece is at home in the hospital, in hospice, and said she's not doing good at all. And said she has this bad cancer. She said, would you come over and meet me at Bertelson at the hospice house and pray for her this afternoon?" And I said, "Sure." And so I drove over there and I pulled down there to the hospice house and the hospital. And
we're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.